To be able to travel with each of you is a privilege. I recognize that you could be doing a number of things tonight, but you are choosing to come here and to worship the Lord, and you're coming to see what God would have for you as we study God's Word together, and just to be a part of that with you is a privilege. So welcome. Welcome to each of you. And I trust that'll be the case, that we'll hear from the Lord tonight as He encourages us or challenges us or convicts us or whatever we need, but I pray He'll have His way in our midst tonight. Well, before we get into our study, a couple of things to take care of. First of all, going to make sure you have a Bible. You will need a Bible. Matter of fact, we're going to 1 Thessalonians, where we left off last time, 1 Thessalonians 1, so you can turn there if you like. But first of all, I just want to make sure you have a Bible if you need one. So raise your hand, and looks like Richard has some Bibles in hand there to make sure everybody has one. So give his attention, he'll be glad to bring one over to you. We left off in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. A week from tonight is the first Wednesday night of the month, and that'll make this coming Wednesday, a week from tonight, what event? Pardon? I'm sorry, what was that? Yeah, everybody's like, you're not sure? communion? Yep, communion. First Wednesday night of the month, we step aside from our normal study. I really, really encourage you to not say, oh boy, a night off. Don't have to come. I hope for any. I always say that. I can think of no greater reason to gather than to gather and remember the price paid so that we can sit here forgiven and heaven bound. And so I invite you to come even tonight for a communion and afterglow time. And I guess enough said about that. Well, let's pray. Father, as always, Lord, we want to make sure we look to you. Committing our time to you, seeking you. We never want to take for granted this privilege of gathering that we might worship and hear from you. And so we bow. We bow our hearts before you. Lord, we're all under construction, so to speak, Lord. None of us have arrived, and our heart's prayer is tonight would be used by you to further us, to further us in that process of molding and shaping us into the image of Jesus Christ. And Lord, this whole awesome thing of hope and how you give hope and hope's role in us and through us and all. Help us to grow in this, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that in all we go through, you are so very faithful. And because of you, indeed, we have a true and real and living hope. So, Lord, lead us tonight. Let it be a neat night of growing and fellowship in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, you remember that I closed our time by considering a particular point. This is our third in the series about hope. And the first evening I'd brought up in 1 Corinthians 13:13, that chapter about love, and I pointed out how Paul ended that chapter by that statement, of course, that now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And so we talked about faith, hope, and love, those three key foundational truths for Christians. And last week I mentioned, after bringing that up, I said, but how does Paul mean those words? How do we know that we understand faith, hope, and love like he uses them? He said it there, these are the three greatest things, the greatest being love, but how do we know? So last week I was led to it. I believe that, I know it was the Lord telling me to do that. I really wanted to make sure we looked at that. Well, we kind of left off there, and I want to start from there again tonight. I ask, is there any place that Lord, through Paul, that Paul uses these words, faith, hope, and love, that in a way that we can maybe add to our understanding? Is there any way that we can tell what he means maybe a little better? Well, we saw, when we turned to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I've had you turn there, I should probably turn there too, there we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we found that he does indeed use all three words right here, and he uses some words in conjunction with those. That is good to remind ourselves about if we were here last week. If not, it'll be a good place to start for all of us tonight. He says here in verse 2, or in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. And what I zeroed in on is verse 3, so I want us to look at that again. where Paul says, remembering without ceasing. So he's thankful for, he's praying, he's giving thanks for them. And in particular, in these three areas, he says, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we learn from that he takes that, and we can see from what he adds, the words he uses in conjunction with these, he helps us understand a little better some things about that. He mentions faith here, but he thanking God for them in terms of their work of faith. And we pointed out that a faith worth having is a faith that should govern our lives. If we have a belief system, a faith that really doesn't impact us, doesn't change us, we never share about it, then that really calls in question what kind of faith it is. But in particular, what Paul is saying here is all like what James says. Faith without works is dead, James says. And what that means is it's not a salvation by works, but it's a salvation that works. And it will result in us doing things. So the idea here is faith is believing in such a way that it's going to govern and lead to action. So when Paul uses faith, he's expecting it to have some kind of result in our lives. The next thing he points out is, and labor of love. Again, Paul uses love here as an action word. We often like to use love as just, well, it's a state of mind, state of heart. But he's pointing out that if it's God's kind of love, it will result in an action through us, not just in us. Love is to be an action word. But then we learned a little bit more about hope when he says he recognizes them, he's praying for them and thanking God for them and for their patience of hope. Interesting, hope here has a flavor, not so much of an action expressed outwardly, but a work that has occurred within us. And it's resulted in a patience, the patience of hope. So hope gives us an attitude to have while we face our hard times. It's a patience that hope produces, is the idea. And so we looked at that last time. What we're introduced to here is the idea that hope is enduring. Hope is patience in action, so to speak. Kenneth Weiss translates the words here that is being translated patience as patient endurance. Phillips translated dogged endurance. So they're enduring. It's producing an endurance, this patience. Their patience of hope. Each week, I don't have a planned set of things. I don't have this whole series planned out already, because I entered this summer desiring us just to kind of seek and search and see what God would want to say to us about hope in our rough times and what we go through and all. And so each time I've tried to stay very sensitive to it and work our way up to each week based on what God has shown me that week. And I also want to try to be connecting and letting you know that I'm growing all this too. And it's interesting. I was thinking about this idea of patience and you know, hope giving us patience and endurance and all. And to me, it naturally leads to a particular part of Scripture. There's a particular portion of Scripture that to me is very much on my heart. I want to make sure we cover this summer. It's a portion of Scripture that teaches us that Paul says that what we go through produces a patience in us. And that in turn, it's interesting, because that in turn results in more hope. The patience produces hope. There's this impact he's talking about of these things happening to us, and that in turn is the kind of hope that doesn't disappoint. Anybody know what passage we're going to turn to? It's okay if you don't. Romans 5. Turn to Romans 5 with me tonight. Romans 5, starting in verse 1. Well-known passage, worthy of us considering in our journey of hope in rough times. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Hold it. I want to make sure to draw our attention. Wait a minute. Paul. Okay. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. What an important passage this is for all of us. It's a key passage for all believers. I don't know if we'll get through all of it tonight, but we'll give it a start and then see what this whole, what the coming weeks hold. Anybody wish we could just skip from the glory to the hope part? Yeah, I'm all for that one. See, these verses point to God's design for the tribulations that we go through. Now, let's pause for a moment and think about it. What does Paul know about tribulation? I mean, he doesn't have to go through what we go through. He'd have to fight the freeway mess. You know, he didn't have to put up with a lot of stuff we do today, you know? No, I'm being facetious. Paul knows whereof he writes. He's a man who went through a lot. What is tribulation? To one man's rough day is another man's day off, you know? Maybe stress to one person is like, ooh, that was an easy day to me. Who's to say, and who's to really, I mean, how can we judge that? I don't know. The captain of the ship, he'd probably love to go back to being just kind of a section hand. He'd go, woohoo, that's an easy day. I just got to work my little department. But ask the guy in charge of that department, he'd go, I'd love to go back just be a deckhand. And down it goes. I mean, everybody has their stress, and everybody has their day, and how do we compare? Everybody here has been through tough things. Anybody not been through anything tough? If you haven't, hang on, you will. Because that's life. And God indeed is teaching us. He brings or allows things, but for the bigger purpose. So Paul knows what he's talking about. And look what he says here in verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. And so I ask this of myself as well as you. I ask it rhetorically, not to be answered out loud, but are we there? Are we really there? I know we want to grow in it, and that's why he teaches it to us, but we glory in tribulations. We're excited about it, look forward to them, we glory. Remember, Paul had an infirmity, and he saw it three times to be prayed, and the Lord said, no, my grace will be sufficient. I'm not going to heal you. My grace will be sufficient to you. He said, okay, then I'm going to glory in my infirmity. I'll just rejoice in my infirmities then, because if it gives glory to God, that's what I want. End product. That's hard. Lord, do that work in me, I pray. Do that work in all of us. That we'll always have that attitude of, Lord, I just want your will to be done. And here he's able to come to the point, and he says, because of these things that we're going to be looking at, we can glory in, not that you go looking for trouble. Oh, gee, isn't that great? I'm getting fired. This is nice. Oh, look, I got a bad report from the doctor. No, we don't say that. But we can glory in the process is the idea. We can have hope in the process because of how what God does as he's teaching us here in all this. God sets before us here an awesome chain, what I call a chain of hope. This is God's chain or sequence, by chain I mean links, that result in hope. But notice, it is a chain with the link of tribulation on one end and hope on the other. And you can't get to the last link without going through each link. It's of God's design. So I call this, I call Romans 5, I call it the chain of hope. Because it speaks to this chain of events, circumstances, process of how we arrive at hope. Now let me just explain a little bit of the background. Our first couple of times together were fairly academic. I laid out some word studies so we understood here what we were basing these things on. It wasn't until really the last part of last week where we kind of shifted more into what I would call devotional type time together. So I want to avoid being academic too much with all of us. I don't want to get up here and just throw a lot of platitudes out and just crank something out. I don't want to have fillers. I don't want to pad our times together. Well, I got a half an hour, I better say something. I'm trying to share that which I've learned, but also which I need to grow in, and for all of us just to discover this. because we're all going through different things. And we will go through different things. But there's a commonality in how God works all this in our lives. And so even as I say this right now, as I said, well, I want to give a little background, I realize the dangers of, oh, great. Here comes a 20-minute lecture on, you know, background stuff. Hang in there. It just must needs to be to a degree. See, Romans is a book that God has used to change many, many a person. Martin Luther, the author of the Reformation, credits the book of Romans. Pastor Chuck Smith, home with the Lord now, but the one who God used to raise up the Calvary Chapel movement, he said it was the book of Romans. When it got hold of him, it changed everything. And so it's a key book not to be studied academically, but to let God change our hearts with it. And it's so much about grace. Chuck's commentary on this is called The Gospel of Grace, the book of Romans. I encourage you to really soak in it if you haven't. And so I want to try to stay away from being dry about it, but just remind ourselves of the context this appears in. A major point of chapters 3 and 4 in Romans is the principle of justification by faith. See, Pastor, you're bringing up big words. It's a Wednesday night, middle of work week, I'm tired. But hang in there, because these are beautiful principles. So good. We are justified by faith. To be justified is to be declared righteous, to have right standing with God by faith. By faith in what Jesus did on the cross. When you cried out and said, God, I'm a sinner, apply that payment to me. Apply that work to me. He did it. And we become what's called justified. Some like to say it's just as if I'd never sinned. One way to remember it, but the point is, it means to have right standing before God. And it only comes through faith in Jesus. It not works. It's not by works that we're saved. We're not justified, made right, by how good we are, anything like that. It's purely by faith in that atoning work of the cross. God credits to our accounts the righteousness of Jesus when we receive Jesus as Savior. Paul now, he makes an argument in chapters 3 and 4, and it's beautiful, the issue of justification. Now Paul gets chapter 5, and he begins to talk about the benefits of that. Here's the benefits of being made right with God. Therefore, verse 1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now notice something here. Having been justified, what tense is that word? The ED is a hint. Thank you. There you go. It's past tense. Not hoping to someday be justified. Not, well, I'm working on being justified. Well, I guess someday I'll find out if I am right. No, we have been justified. It's done. It's finished. Having been justified by faith. If you've received Christ as Savior, it is a finished work for eternity. We have been justified by faith. Now, as a result of that, he who has been forgiven much loves much. And I think sometimes some of us old timers forget what we've been forgiven of or something. But look in the mirror, remind ourselves, Lord, think of what we were and what He's forgiven. Think of all that's wrapped up in that. It's such a beautiful thing. I'm made right with You, God. I have right standing with You. Yep. And you know what comes of that? Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. No more, we're not enemies of God anymore. We're not at enmity, it's called. We're not at odds with. We're not fighting against. We have peace with God now. That which separated us has been spanned. Because I'm made right now, because of what the Lord did on the cross, I have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, we've entered into this grace that we're going to be looking at. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So it's an awesome declaration of what is ours through faith. Don't lose sight of that when the tough times come. Don't lose sight of that. It's easy to get onto the problems and what this world is doing, the weird things going on around us. Remember here, we've been justified by faith of what He did on the cross. Because that I'm at peace with God now. Me, Dale. I'm at peace with God now. Through whom, that's through Jesus, through whom also, through Jesus, we have access, how? By faith, into this grace in which we stand. Access. 24/7. The veil is torn. We can go in anytime, all the time. Got a trial, got a problem, 3 a.m. In you go. Right into the throne. Right in before Him. If you're in need of grace, you can go right on in. By faith into this grace in which we stand. We take our stand upon it all. Remember, we're leading up to hope here. But these are important foundational truth. So it's an awesome declaration of what is ours through faith in Jesus. And because of that, and what? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So that's that result. My understanding of the word rejoice here is a word that has a real strength to it. Quote, a confident boast or exultant jubilation. It is a strong word that refers to rejoicing at its highest level. End quote. So it's really rejoicing. It's exalting the Lord. It's jubilant celebration is the idea here. Because of my right standing, and because of peace, and because of access, because of the grace, I rejoice in hope of the glory of God. How can you have hope in that thing you're going through? Because I don't have hope in the thing I'm going through. By that I mean I don't find hope in it. Yeah, there's tough things we go through. But I have hope in the One who's seeing me through it all. Hope in the One who's holding me right there in His hand. Hope that when everything else is pulling me apart, I'll stay together. I know I will. Because I found out. As you have probably. He is our glue. And that's what Paul wants us to understand here. So now, having said that, he now enters into the chain of hope. And not only that, so not only all that awesome stuff that comes through justification by faith, and these steps we just looked at. But not only that, but we also glory, and now here it goes again, glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. It would be really cool if I could drop 20 pounds without dieting. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you like to lose some weight and not have to diet? Just say, oh, they, poof. For you guys that maybe want to get some muscle, wouldn't it be great if you could beef up and not have to lift a single weight? Not have to get to the weight machine. Not have to go jog around the block to get in shape. Just want it and it happens. But it doesn't work that way, does it? We want hope. But I wonder if we understand what it takes to exercise and get those muscles of hope, so to speak. You don't get strong without some kind of resistance. muscles don't get strong. I know you're saying, Pastor, you need to try some more resistance. But that's besides the difference. But the idea is you don't get strong physically without resistance. That's just the way muscles work. And there is a way that God designed us that through these things, He'll work realities into our life, experiences into our life that result in a God-given hope. If we'll pay attention, if we're open to it, if we'll keep focused on the process and not the problem. Because I would never, because God doesn't ever make light of what we go through. There are times it hurts and hurts a lot. There's times when you say, Lord, this one's going to bust me. You think it's going to happen, but it doesn't. But sometimes you wonder. Maybe you look at me like, huh? I think you've probably been there. There's times when you just feel like a crumpled up mess on the floor. But thank God we don't stay there. He begins to shape and mold us again, and He works a really neat work. So I'm not making light of those things. But He wants us to understand how He's going to redeem it all. Paul here writes about the purpose or result of the trials and tribulations that we go through. And again, Paul knows very well what he's writing about. A man who was beaten and stoned and left for dead and shipwrecked and just persecuted, just in jail and just, hounded and everything else. He knows. I read those things where Paul goes through that whole list of what he went through, left for dead and stoned and shipwrecked. He goes through that. At the very end, he goes, and not to mention my daily concern for the church. And I go, God, that's my main thing. That's one of my main things. And that's like at the bottom of his list. I think, man, what were those other things like? So he knows. And that's why it's such good stuff. If we'll lay hold of this, it'll help us have a whole different attitude in what we go through. This is the chain that leads to hope. Notice the progression. We glory in tribulation. So the first link in the chain is, yes, tribulation. Tribulation is the Greek word thalipsis. And everybody goes, oh yeah. No. It means pressure. It's a Greek word that means pressure. So it begins with pressures in our life. My understanding is the word thalipsis, this word was used in regards to the process of squeezing oil out of olives and juice out of grapes to make wine. You ever seen the oil presses over there in Israel? You ever seen the big stone things they'd roll around and they'd throw the stuff in there and it squishes it and they had like a little gathering thing and out comes the juice? The poor grape, the olive, he's not much, he's squished. And that's the pressure he's talking about here. The pressure that we are put under. And so I'd ask you again, you ever been there? You ever been there? I just got a head nod and I won't look back at who did it for a few minutes. But every time you feel like, man, I feel like the grape in the grape press here. I feel like the olive. And Lord, I know you're going to make some really awesome olive oil out of me, but this is... Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe right now you're going through a time of being pressed like olives are to get the juice out of them, the olive oil out of them. We are encouraged here how to have hope in whatever it is we might be going through. So it tells us here, we glory in the pressures, the stresses, the tribulations that come our way. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And as I was studying this again today, I just had to admit, it says knowing. And I said, do we? Lord, I know it. I know it. Head know it. And I'm learning at heart know it. What an important lesson. We glory. Well, how are we going to glory in tribulations? Knowing this process. So in love, I encourage all of us. Always keep in mind the chain of hope. Knowing these things, knowing that that pressure produces perseverance. The metal gets harder in the fire. The muscle gets stronger against the resistance. That's just how it works. The word here that's translated in our New King James, perseverance. Anybody else have another translation? Okay, if you do, what's that say there instead? What's that?
Enduring.
Yep, exactly. Yep, that's a good one. That's an idea there. So the idea of endurance, patience. I know my study Bible right next to it, there's a little letter, and you go down there under perseverance, and it tells you that it means approved character. Oh, excuse me, that's character. I'm wrong one. Verse 3. Endurance. So endurance, patience, perseverance. So tribulations are going to produce endurance. Remember, we talked about how we were going to look at endurance. That hope endures. And it produces, one of the first things it's going to begin to produce is perseverance, patience, endurance. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, I'll just read it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. All these guys. You know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing, another knowing. See, these knowings are, you know it through experience. You gain it through going through it. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And perfect there means mature. Count it all joy when you fall into these various trials. Why? Because the trial is so much fun? No. Knowing that the result's going to be certain things. I'll know my God better. I'll know His strength better. I'll know His provision better. All those things are going to result. And He's going to have a work result in me through it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. James says, count it all joy. Paul says, glory in tribulations. To our flesh, to the world, that sounds so strange. And yet, it's not some big secret. Wow, I wish I could discover what Paul... What did James discover? What did Paul discover? Wish I could discover that. That's why they're teaching us. That's why God had them record this. Our part? Learning. Knowing. Experientially knowing it. How? Through it. Well, got a lot of notes here on chapter 4 and following. That gives us enough to chew on. That'll give us something to chew on right there. This is going to be too important to rush through. Let me just say this in general. In our time here, we have communion next week. Following week, I'll be at the pastor's conference. But we'll get back into this. We get back together. All of us together again on our Wednesday night time. But just to share this, I encourage you, read ahead here, study it, make notes on it, see if the Lord shows you about it, see if it lines up with what I share, we get back here together. But I'm just wanting to point out here that notice the chain and notice what it results in. I'm going to go for it. I know you're sitting there going, oh, I thought we were done. I want to share these thoughts. Bear with me. I feel like I'm stopping like right in the middle, and I want to, well, it's on my heart. Verse 4. And perseverance produces character. Perseverance produces character. So the tribulation comes. It begins to produce in us this perseverance, this endurance, and that in turn produces character. Now this one, some of you might have different words there for it. The King James translates the word character as experience. That it produces experience. The idea is this. The more we experience God's faithfulness, the easier it is next time to trust God. It produces this character, or another translation for it is an experience in us, of God's proven character that we can trust in. And it produces, if you will, a character in us of just that. An experience We understand the experience better and better. In essence, a good way to look at this is this produces a character that knows God's character. And that's going to be our strength in what we go through. A character rooted in His nature, His faithfulness. Tribulation gives us experience of God's character, His faithfulness and all. And that's going to lead to hope when we go through a trial. For look what it says next. And character or experience, what? Produces hope. Because we've learned He won't let us down. If we go through it, you will learn that. We sing that. We sing how you never let go and there's always hope. And we sing those types of songs because they're true. But may they be something we really lay hold of. And verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. It's a hope that does not disappoint. It's a hope that will not make us ashamed. How does it not make me ashamed? How does it not disappoint? Because it won't fail. It doesn't. It actually is there. He will see me through. He will do this work. It will never disappoint us. The experience of forming His character in us produces hope. And so we begin to have a hope not based on experience, so to speak, or at least it's based on experience in terms of how He worked, was with us in the experience and saw us through it and how He changed us and all, and how we knew Him better. That's the idea. So I wanted to make sure and get through these first four there to show you the whole chain down to hope. Experience, and it produces this hope in us, and it won't fail us. It will not disappoint. That will be a good place to stop. Next time, Lord willing, we'll jump into verse 5 and make some more points in all this. Well, as our worship team comes up, let me make a few closing comments. There he goes. Hopefully you'll notice here that Paul wants us to lay hold of a certain outcome. And the outcome is found in verse 2, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. And in verse 4, hope. Just flat out, it's going to result in hope. God's process ends with this hope, and a hope that does not disappoint. A hope that we can rejoice in, he's saying. Because we know it's God's design. And we're going to know Him better through it. We'll learn to trust His sufficiency, His strength, and it all. And so what's the sequence? Tribulation produces perseverance or patience, endurance, which produces character or experience, and that will produce hope. That's the chain of hope. And remember it when you go through these things. Well, let's all stand. If you need a prayer, we'll have some prayer partners available in the corner of the room back there tonight. Get some prayer. And hopefully we'll see you Sunday or a week from tonight for communion. Let's pray. Father, in one hand, I feel like we rushed through all this, Lord, and yet I just pray You'll take it all and kind of distill it down and really help us soak in it and grow in it and just help us gain your take on these things, Lord. And all we go through, thank You for this chain of hope. Thank You, Lord, how You redeem it all, how You work through it all. You are faithful. And we can trust Your processes. And so we lift to You, each of us, and all we're going through and are facing or will be facing. And Lord, we're just saying, have Your way. Let us be amongst those, like Paul who said, we rejoice in all this. We glory in it because it's You at work. And that's our bottom line, our desire. That in turn it will all give You glory. So we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.